Good when we're tired. He's good when we haven't had enough coffee. He's good when we have been working diligently and hard all week and our bodies are sore. He's good when we're sick in body. He's good when we're struggling financially. He's good. Praise God. All right, just thought I'd start out with a little bit of preaching. Amen. How's everyone's doing all right? Wonderful. Good. You got your good fake Pentecostal smile on this morning. Praise God. Mine is not fake, Sister Annette. Mine is real. Praise God. Anybody else got a kink in their shoulder that just won't go away? I don't know where that came from. Pause the feed and just have prayer for a little bit. Praise God. All right. Good morning, Facebook Live. Glad you're with us this morning. So glad to be part of a family. This is a family. I'm so glad to be a part of it. Praise God. Amen. Laugh together, cry together. Probably more crying together than laughing, but still, family. Today we're going to be looking at the ministry of helps and administration. Doesn't that sound exciting? Woo! Come on, somebody. It is a very exciting. This lesson will change your life, or maybe it already has in the past, and you're living this already. If not, let your ears tune in today, because this is valuable to the church. Valuable to the church. Amen. Our focus verse is 1 Corinthians 12:28. And simply says, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So today we're going to be talking about the helps and governments. In our lesson text, there's quite a bit there. I'm just going to read Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 because this is a good one. Not that the other ones aren't good, but you know what I'm saying. You can read those on your own, in your own Bible reading time. Praise God. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Isn't that exciting? So if you're going to do something, do it now. Do it while you're alive. All right, good. Then we can close in prayer at this point. All right. Our focus thought today is the body of Christ needs helpers and administrators who are willing to offer their gifts to assist the church in fulfilling its mission. That is the bottom line right there. The body of Christ needs helpers. I don't know if I can think of another church like this one that is so widespread in giving helpers. We may be small in number right here, but we are very large in the kingdom today. Don't look around and go, oh, just this us few today. It's just a few of us here that have gathered in the house. No. We have widespread reach. We have reach in Africa. We have reach in Seward today. We have reach around this district. And this church is impacting the world. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. But the church continues to need helpers and administrators willing to offer their gifts and assist the church in fulfilling its mission. The mission of the church does not just happen. You show up on Sunday. Praise God, the mission's going forward. No. That's not how it works. I want to be a pastor so I can only work on Sunday. That's funny. That's funny right there. No. Every day, something is going on. Something is happening. Things are going on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't even realize is happening. When you leave your Kleenex on the pew and you show up the next Sunday and it's not there. It's magic. Angels come in and sweep through the place and pick up all of the trash. And by angels, I mean the walkers, right? Things happen behind the scenes. And it's so vital in moving the church forward. Moving the church forward to fulfill its mission. I believe the church has a mission to fulfill. And we all can play a part in that. You probably have the Culture Connection in your books. And you can read through that. A very, very interesting story. And actually a film had just come out on this. I believe the book was Hidden Figures. That is also the title of the movie as well. Talking about computers or human computers, the people that were in the background who did the calculations for NASA. Very, very interesting story. African-American ladies who were brilliant with math. And did all of the calculations for orbiting and landing on the moon with a pencil and an abacus. I don't know how they did it. I could do it. I would forget to carry the one, and then no more astronauts. And that would not be good. But they call them computers, but they always viewed themselves as just part of the team. And I think that was the point of that cultural connection. But I wanted to make it a little bit more real, and somebody that popped into my mind immediately when I thought of people that just worked and were part of the team. There was a gentleman in my home church in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia called Bob Grady. Bob Grady. He was a single man. When I was a kid, he was an older man. And never seemed to age, but he was the type of person that if something needed to get done, he was going to get it done. He was the type of person that liked to clean. I don't know of anybody who really likes to clean, but he liked to clean. And so in his spare time, he would clean the pastor's home. And I remember him coming to our, we were just saints in the church, but he would come to our house and clean our house. And anything that needed to be done at the church, he was there working, diligently working. And we didn't always see everything that got done that he did. But when you walked into any place where he had been, man, it smelled nice. It was perfectly clean. There was, and it was not something that we think of normally as helping the church progress and moving forward in its mission. But there's nothing nicer for a visitor when they walk through the door and it smells lemony fresh. Right? You don't walk into a place that smells like you've just been canning fish. Praise God. But Bob Grady, not a big figure, not a name that's known throughout the United Pentecostal Church or around the world, but he's known to me, and he's known to our home church there, and at his funeral, hundreds of people came because he impacted hundreds of people with his life and with his giving of his life towards helping those around him. And the one thing that I remember, his spirit was just such a gentle spirit. He would come and he would say, I'd like to testify. And we knew what that meant. Everybody knew what that meant. That meant he had a song. And so, and he grew up in a Catholic boys choir. That was his background in music. So we were horrible as children. We mocked him nonstop about his singing style. But the spirit of the man will never be forgotten, or his singing for that matter. And we love Bob Grady because he was a helper. And there are times in my life where I am tired and I'm wore out and I got a million things to do and something needs to be accomplished. It's people like him that drive me forward. If he could do it, if he was suffering and dying from cancer, he still did it. He still did it. And so the drive is there and the reminder is there. I need to be a helper. I need to work. I need to work because the kingdom of God needs to be advanced. Praise God. May every congregation be blessed with members who can navigate spiritual pathways, contributing creatively and humbly to the church leadership team. Amen. And I believe that Sterling Pentecostal Church is blessed with those type of people. Amen. All right. The first thing that was not good in the Bible is what? You're like, this is a trick question, isn't it? Not good for man to be alone. Aha! Brilliant. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Not good for man to be alone. So what did he do? Created Eve. To be a worker for man? To be under man? No? No. Don't encourage him. No. Help me. Eve completed Adam. We are complete together as a husband and a wife. We don't have to be the same. We are made up differently. And that's okay. Praise God. We complete each other. Where I am weak, Holly is strong. And where she is weak, I am strong. And we complement each other. Maybe not verbally, but we complement each other. Praise God. I'm just having some fun this morning. Amen. We need to understand that we are not self-sufficient. We try our best to be self-sufficient. And I think men struggle with this a little more. We try to do everything on our own. I'm not going to ask for help. Packing up the house, painting the house. I'm going to do everything myself. I'm going to do it all. I'm not going to call anybody because they're all busy too, trying to do stuff themselves. So I'm just going to work on it myself. We try to be self-sufficient. Try to be self-sufficient. But in that very first creation of man, when he made Eve, there was a point being made. You can't do this alone. You need other people. Humans are not self-sufficient. God himself is the greatest source of assistance in our life. But the Bible extols the importance of relying upon each other and being available to each other for assistance in life and ministry. This is also seen in the various ministries intended to be active in the church. We need one another. We need one another. Wouldn't it be funny and very stressful if Brother Glover was teaching the adult Sunday school lesson as well as running down and teaching each individual Sunday school classroom, running back up here, making another point, going back downstairs, handing out a treat, coming back upstairs, teaching this, going back and adjusting the sound, changing the slides every time. We need each other. Praise God. It takes more than just one. Praise God. The ministry of helps. 1 Corinthians 12:28. The word translates, translated helps. It's a plural noun. I need Holly up here, speaking of weaknesses of mine, to explain what a plural noun is. I think it just has an S on it. Good. Yeah, okay. So a plural noun. It means assistance in times of difficulty. It is a plural because the verse refers to believers who have unique talents, abilities, those are all S's, and callings to be a help. Derives from the meaning of a root word that means to grasp or take up a matter, providing relief or aid by taking hold of a share of another's task or burden, thus helping someone in his or her work. Super complicated stuff this morning. The word means help somebody. Use your giftings to help somebody. What are you good at? What has God blessed you with? God gave me the ability to play the piano occasionally well, most of the time not so well, but I can get through a song. If you guys sing really loud, I can get through a song. But what in the world would all of that do if I sat on the pew? Come on, Dr. Seuss. Brother Steve, how many people have you blessed with your skills? How many churches have you blessed with your skills? Right? Don't try to figure it out now. We don't have time. We're at 45 minutes. I got 18 pages left. Right? And so, use what you have and help somebody. Share the load. Take on the burden together. Ministry of Helps is listed in the list of 1 Corinthians 12:28. It's synonymous with the mystery of giving, the ministry of giving mentioned in the list of Romans 12:6-8. Giving is sharing a portion of one's resources. We always think of giving as money, but it is not. Giving is also time. Giving is also knowledge, wisdom, strength. I can't lift that heavy load. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your muscles. Do you have them, Thomas? Okay. Know who to ask. It's important. But we all have gifts and talents. Praise God. If I want a guitar player, guess who I'm going to call? If I want somebody who's actively studying the Word, I'm going to call Thomas. Right? Okay. So we all have our strengths. We all have our weaknesses. Amen. But we need each other. We can fill in the holes and in the gaps. Amen. If I'm looking for somebody that has mastered the English language, Brother Mario, probably not going to call you, but if I'm looking for a compliment about how I've lost weight and I'm under 200 pounds now, I'm going to go for Brother Mario because he tells me that I gain weight all the time. Praise God. But I'm getting somewhere. I'm moving forward. Praise God. All right. Examples of help. Wait, I was talking about giving, wasn't I? Romans 12:8 states, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." The word simplicity suggests integrity and a generous spirit that does not seek reward or honor. And so comparing those two or putting those two things together, helps and giving, when we help, we're not helping for reward. We're helping with integrity, with sincerity. We want to actually help people. Amen. It's very important that if we're going to be a helper in the church, we do it with integrity. Amen. And not seeking rewards. Helpers. Helpers. Four helping friends. Mark 2, 1 through 5 has the story. And they come unto him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. Four people carrying the one not able to get there. And where are they headed? to Jesus. And where is Jesus? Inside the house. Can't get in. And there is something within them that says, if we can just get this guy to Jesus, his life will change. What is the one thing that they, as helpers, had?
Faith.
Exactly. Faith. If we can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to the hem of his garment, if I can just get there, then things will happen. And so the four, even though they were helpers, their actions were based on the faith that they had in Jesus Christ. Very important as helpers and administrators to use faith in everything that you do. Praise God. So you're doing things with integrity. You're doing things not seeking reward. And when you're working for the kingdom of God, you need to be acting in the realm of faith. Praise God. Exodus 17 also has a story. Battle between Israel and the Amalekites. Ooh, the bad Amalekites. Right? There was a battle that was going on. And there's some interesting things in here. I don't know why, but we always have the perception of a certain perception of this story. But this is going to kind of enlighten you today. Praise God. Before the victory could be won, Moses unable to maintain the strain of holding up the rod. So we know the story that he had to hold that up in order for Israel to have victory. When the arms would start to lower, the battle was turning. Okay, so keep the hands up. Didn't have the strength. Moses was not young at this point. And so Aaron and Hur, H-U-R, seated him on a stone and each supported one of his arms, right? And so they held his arms up together as a team. Moses and two helpers. Moses is old, we know that. When we read, we hear the familiar story, we often get the impression of two young and fit men assisting their elder. But such is not the case. Aaron was 3 years older, right? Okay, and Hur, probably the husband of Aaron's older sister, Miriam, was the grandfather of, Bezalel? Yes, okay. The chief artisan of the tabernacle. So both of these men were older than Moses. And he was sitting and they were holding. Okay? It was not the army of young men who fought in the valley, but the three old men who were on the hill who brought the victory that day. We need our seniors and our elders in the church to be actively holding up the ministry. Holding them up in prayer, backing them, doing whatever they possibly can do. Amen? We need our elders. Praise God. I'm so glad that that shed some light on that, because a lot of times we're always looking for the young people to do, young people to do. We need young people to come, and we need their muscles and their strength and all of that kind of stuff, and that's important as well. But we cannot fulfill the mission of the church without our elders being actively involved. Amen. Seniors may be overlooked because of infirmities or frailty that come with age, but the church needs them to hold or uphold the hands of our leaders. Praise God. Praise God. Working in the temple. Way too many scriptures to mention here. Attention is usually drawn to the priests who minister before the Lord. And that's typically what happens. When you're talking about the temple and you're talking about the church, everything kind of points towards the ministers, the ministry team. Everything is the ministers, the licensed people, those that have credentials and spend every waking moment studying the Word, and that's what it all points towards, right? How do you think the temple would have survived and moved forward with just the priests who ministered before the Lord? They had their own things to do. So helpers included the Gibeonites, Canaanites who labored as hewers of wood and drawers of water in Joshua 9, 23 and 27. Musicians and singers, 1 Chronicles 9:33. Ushers in 2 Kings 22, 4. Bakers. The temple needed bakers. Amen. Praise God. The temple, Sterling Pentecostal Church, needs a coffee maker first thing in the morning. Praise God. Just throwing that out there. We've got stewards in 1 Chronicles 9:28-29. Carpenters, builders, and masons in 2 Kings 22:6. Scribes in 2 Chronicles 34:13. Temple security. Oh, Brother Steve, Brother Mike. Temple security, we got it. That was 1 Chronicles 9:23. Also Matthew 26:47. Prayer warriors, right? We need that. Luke 2:37. This partial list, we don't have time to get into everybody that helped in the temple, but this partial list of temple workers parallels the many different kinds of help that can be extended to and by the body of Christ through the ministry of helps. Whatever our unique talents, abilities, and skill sets are, they can be used by God to multiply the effectiveness of the church. Amen. And in today's society, we need helps in social media, helps in marketing, helps in website, helps in graphic design, helps in all kinds of technical aspects of the church as well. All of these areas need to be covered. Helps in outreach, helps in door hangers, helps in Bible studies, and even coming up with effective Bible studies. We do have some amazing Bible studies out there, but there are a million different people out there that need to hear it a different way. So let's find a way that's going to work with somebody, right? So we need people, administrators, scribes, people to actually do these things. We need all of this in the kingdom of God, praise God, to have effectiveness of the church. Effectiveness. Amen. The ministry of administration. And I have plenty of time. The ministry of administration. The word translated governments in 1 Corinthians 12:28 means guidance, direction, statesmanship, or leadership. Like the word helps, it's plural because the verse is referring to individuals who have unique talents, abilities, and callings to provide administration. Some people love administration. They love filing things, and everything has to be just perfect and just so, and alphabetized and numericalized, and obviously not an administrator. There are people that love this and are very, very good at it. It's a talent that is required in keeping everything organized with the government overlooking everything that the church does and trying to find cracks in the armor and find flaws and find ways to audit you. It's important to have good administrators. We love you, government. We love you. We pray for you. Amen. The word literally means helmsman. 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 But it was also used in ancient times for rulers and governments and even deities. But They were there to provide clear paths or wisely order the lives of their followers. The ministry of governments in the list of 1 Corinthians 12:28 is synonymous with the ministry of ruling mentioned in the list of Romans 12, 6 through 8. Notice there's a little bit of comparison there between those two sections of Scripture. Ruling is taking charge of some aspect of ministry in the church. Taking charge. So pastor says, I want you to take charge of worship. I want you to take care of the finances. You're going to be in charge of the finances. You're going to be in charge of education or Sunday school department. Somebody's going to be in charge of that. Or somebody's going to be in charge of a charity that we're going to do or whatever. It's a leadership role where they're going to be taking control or charge, of course, being submitted to the leadership of the church. And we already talked about what does it require? Integrity, not seeking for any reward, and walking in faith. Okay? And so let me add to that, submission. Okay? And I don't believe pastor's going to ask you to do something that, or he's going to ask you to do something if you're not submitted. Right? Probably not going to happen. So if the submission is not there, you don't have to worry about them roles of administration. Praise God. Work on submission, and then we'll work on something else. Praise God. Amen. That's good teaching, Brother Jeff. All right. So they to provide, what are they there for? To provide guidance, leadership, and management. There are people that have amazing skills in management. There are businesses that do really well because they have really good management. There are other businesses that don't do so well and go out of business because management's horrible. They can't manage people. They can't manage finances. They can't manage their inventory. They have no management skills. Bring somebody in that knows what they're doing, and you will succeed. Same thing goes for the church. I mean, we've got God on our side, so that's a huge plus. But we need people in the right position doing the right job based on their skill set so that we can move forward without glitches and hiccups along the way. Praise God. Need the right people in the right place. The need for administration. Oh, my goodness. This is just powerful stuff this morning. Pastors of smaller churches must wear a number of hats, often simultaneously. But even when pastoring a congregation with a huge pastoral staff, a pastor has to be a generalist rather than specializing in specific responsibilities. A healthy church cannot be built by a single individual. It takes all of us. It takes people with specific skill sets. It takes helpers and administrators to be successful. While pastors are called and anointed to provide spiritual leadership to their congregation, they are not necessarily well equipped to be administrators over all of the functions of a local church. One person is just not that qualified. We all have our specialties, and sometimes we're forced. Brother Glover could stand up and testify for about the next 4 days about all of the roles that he has fulfilled over the years and either felt qualified or didn't feel qualified or got help or called somebody or Lord help me. I sometimes just hit your knees in prayer. God help me get through this. Whatever. I need help here. That's just how we're made. We need each other. We're not meant to stand alone. We need one another. Leadership is what enables the church to bridge the gap between where it is and where it should be. Leadership. The major characteristics of such leadership is the ability to turn subordinates into followers and followers into leaders. And if you want to read all of this wonderful stuff that I just presented to you, it is found in a book called Learning to Lead, Bringing Out the Best in People by Fred Smith. Lots of good stuff in there that we don't have time to get into today. The ministry of administration is essential to provide the pastor and congregation with assistance, guidance, and wise counsel. Wise counsel. So the pastor may lead with vision and confidence in the Lord without having his or her time and strength exhausted by important yet distracting needs. And we have an example of that in Paul's epistle. And what is that example? Waiting tables. Waiting tables. Yeah. Trying to do everything. Now, did the apostles wait tables? Yeah. They worked. They worked. And then they got help. And did that stop them from occasionally having to jump in? No. Because we're in this together. And so when something needs to happen, guess we jump in. We do whatever we need to do. But what a blessing to find helpers who can do some tasks and to do some things around the church that need to be done. Pastor doesn't need to be here at the church cleaning up tissues on Saturday night. He needs to be preparing for Sunday. Praise God. Amen. That's just good teaching right there. Doesn't mean that if no one else was available to clean, guess where pastor would be? Cleaning. It just has to get done. But so thankful for those that step into those roles and help the church move forward and allow the ministry to prepare and cast vision and study the word and present it to us so that we can grow. Praise God. So important. So vital. Administrators. And I am almost out of time. The apostles still concern themselves with the management of the church property and the meetings of the physical needs meeting the physical needs of the members. Just because they had other people helping them didn't mean that they stopped working. The best Old Testament example of this ministry of administration is Joseph. Boy, I wish we had time to get into that story. He was such a huge blessing to those that he was under. And was it because he was amazing at the skill of administration? He was good. But what did Joseph have other than an undying belief in God? Joseph had the right attitude. Joseph had the right attitude to serve. It doesn't matter if I'm in Potiphar's house where things are pretty good. I got the run of the house. Yeah, I've got this distraction over here. Keeps distracting me and eventually gets me thrown in jail. Oh, I'm in jail now. There's something I can do. I'm going to help in any way that I can. And no matter what station he found himself in life, whatever situation, the attitude was right. The submission to authority was right. His desire to help was right. And God blessed his efforts in everything that he did. And eventually he found himself in the most amazing position. Pharaoh said, run it, do it, make it happen. I've seen what you can do. I've seen that you are submitted to your leadership. You're committed to your cause. You are committed to your God. I understand that you have these talents and abilities, and you can use them, and you can bless this kingdom because of them. And it was because of Joseph's attitude through every situation and his continuous submission throughout the entire process. Good, bad, best. Didn't matter. Good attitude. Praise God. And it didn't take long. Joseph rose through the ranks. He stood out. People stand out that have good attitudes. People stand out that are willing to help and assist and use their gifts for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to be one of those people. I want to be one of those people. Let's stand this morning. I want to be one of those people who has the right attitude and the desire to help. And no matter what station I find myself in life, whether I am asked to clean the toilets, or whether I'm asked to shovel snow, or whether I'm asked to lead worship, or whether I'm asked to teach Sunday school, or whether I'm asked to make the coffee when I show up on Sunday morning. I want to have a good attitude. I want to be submitted to my spiritual authority. I want to have integrity. What were the things that I mentioned? Integrity. Not doing it for a reward, faith, submission, the right spirit. So important. So important. Amen. And then that brings us to whatever your hand finds to do. Do it. Do it. With your might, your strength, everything within you. Praise God. And right now, what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And we're going to pray with all of our might. Praise God. We're going to pray for the Wades. Continue to keep them in your prayers. I'm so thankful for the Wades. I'm so thankful for our seniors and our elders. Praise God. Sister Stella and Sister Linda for healing. We need to continue to pray for Kiana Norvik and the church build that's going on there. The Walkers are there right now. And we'll be there for quite some time. We need to pray that God keeps his hand upon them. So thankful for their willingness to go and give of their talents and of their time. Praise God. And then Queethluck, the new church. Praise God. We've got new churches and preaching points going all over Western Alaska. Praise God. So excited about that. The emails that are coming out and the pictures and the pulpit made it looked like a pallet. Praise God. But it's a pulpit and it's a preaching point and they're preaching the word. Praise God. People's lives are being changed. So thankful for that. I thought it was awesome. And then the Pelleteers are ministering in Seward today. And so we will pray for them today in Jesus' name. Brother Mike, come and pray. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Let's join together praying for Sister Stella, Sister Linda, the Wades, in Jesus' name, we loose your healing virtue to flow. Lord, according to your will, we pray it be accomplished perfectly with these women of God. In Jesus' name, strengthen the Wades. Bless them in that home they're at, Lord. Bless them with visitations of your spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to heal Linda's back, the sciatic nerve, whatever's going on there. You're going to take away that pain immediately in Jesus' name. We curse that pain. Command it to flee her body. We loose your joy and peace. We loose your strength. We loose healing virtue in her body, in Stella's body, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the work in Kiana. You're going to strengthen the Walker's hands. You're going to be with Merle. You're going to bless him as he's doing that work. You're going to bless Esther also. And the church there in Kiana is going to be that outreach that reaches the entire region there. There's going to be a breakthrough of your spirit, and we know it's going to continue to happen. We thank you for Queethluck, what's going on there. And you're going to bring more preaching points, more places of worship, more places people can come to be saved in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, you're going to anoint Levi and Rebecca in Seward today. You're going to work through with them in a mighty and powerful way. They're going to have a breakthrough in Seward. They're going to be a blessing there in Jesus' name. And once again, Lord, I curse the spirit of witchcraft that's come against this town and come against this church. I bind up Pie Wackets and I curse you at the roots. I command that business to fail in Jesus' name. I command even the owner, Ronnie Holt, to fail in everything she does in Jesus' name unless she comes to repentance. Every curse that's been spoken against this church, I cast it down. I reverse it if you'll allow me in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we lose submission. We lose obedience to apostolic authority. We lose your kingdom to be established here in Sterling in Jesus' name. We lose your peace. We lose joy. a sound mind and self-control in Jesus' name. It's not by might, we say it, not by power, it's by your Spirit. We loose your Spirit to do its work, Lord. You're going to work in a powerful way in this service here. We thank you for the teaching that's been given by Brother Jeff. And we're going to have a powerful moving of your Spirit. Lord, I ask for your holiness. I ask for the Spirit of holiness to rest in this place. Lord, let us feel conviction today in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
So we have a service at 11, so we have 10 minutes roughly. Fellowship, you dismiss this section.